Bob Sorge has been a friend of ours for many years, and we are so honored and so privileged to call you one of our favorite people in the world, Bob. We love you. You're a very dear friend. You and your family are very precious to us, and what God has done through you has transformed our lives and the lives of the people that we hang out with, and so we're very grateful. Bob comes from Kansas City. Bob was from New York, and he may tell you some of his story for those of you who are not familiar with him, but he was a pastor in New York, and God made some changes, and Bob had a vocal accident just after writing a book some of you may be familiar with called Exploring Worship, which was just becoming a huge hit. Everybody in the world was reading his book, and Bob was on the rise to fame, and God says, nah, and he just took his voice away, and we don't understand it. But we are so grateful, if I may say this, Bob, I know you, well, whatever. We're so grateful that God took your voice away, because God gave you a message that we have heard even without your voice. And we're so grateful for that. We pray along with you that the Lord will restore you, and that the Lord will restore your vocal cords so that you can proclaim His glory with confidence and with surety, although you already do, but so that everybody can hear. We join in our hearts together with you and pray for that, to that end. Now, Bob's books, as a result of his personal crucible and the fire that he has gone through, questioning God, finding answers in the Scriptures, and then writing about them, it's transformational. It's transformed me and many others that I've counseled. I've given you his books, and you've read them, and we've got testimony here of how God has used those. Well, to this morning, Bob's going to come, and he's going to share a word with us, and I just want to encourage you to open up your heart. If you've never heard Bob speak before, I want you to prepare your heart to receive from the Lord today. Don't be sitting there trying to question whether or not this guy is worthy of your ears. Take it on my account. I'll stand surety for him this morning. He speaks the voice of the Lord. So listen with all your heart. Would you please welcome Bob Sorge.
Each this morning, that's below wholesale. Christmas is coming, and if you can't afford that, then it's my gift to you. You don't have to ask, you just go back and help yourself, because I haven't come to sell something, I've come to sow something into your life, and I trust you'll be strengthened in your walk with Christ. And if the message this morning connects with you, you can go deeper in it in this title, Power of the Blood. Pastor Steve, sow that into your life. Had some friends tell me, they say, everywhere you go, you need to tell the people you're on Twitter. I send out one-liners on Twitter. Here's one I sent out recently. Some of you are looking at me like, Twitter? Yeah. I sent out a one-liner. I don't pray to make life work. I make life work so that I can pray. that's a sermon all of its own. And let's begin in Romans 8. We're going to jump around a little bit this morning. Get ready. Okay, now I'm just raw curiosity. How many people are on Twitter? I'm in the room. Oh, I got one hand on that. Okay. Okay, let's get back. All right. I invite you to open your hands before the Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Come now. Do what you do best and magnify the name of Jesus to the glory of God the Father in our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was given to us as our helper. This scripture says He helps us pray. Sometimes we feel like, Lord, I just need help. How many of you ever felt like that? Lord, I need help. And so we come to our prayer life, and we bring a book with us, and we bring, listen to the CD, and we're doing all this stuff. And we have a built-in helper. The Holy Spirit. See, I believe the Holy Spirit's all the help you need. Does anybody here have a computer? Okay, let me ask you, do you have a help program in your computer, Steve? Let me ask you another question. Have you ever called the manufacturer of your computer, Dell, whatever, and ask them for help with your help program? That would be a little redundant, wouldn't you agree? Because the help program, by definition, helps you. The Holy Spirit is your helper. And I want you to hear this. You don't need help with the helper. He's all the help you need. So if you're needing help with your prayer life, here's what you do. Help. You ask the helper for help. And if there's anything the Holy Spirit wants to do, He wants to help your prayer life. He enters into the thing with you and helps you in your weakness so that you can pray according to the will of God. And groanings start to take over your soul. Now, when this scripture talks about groanings, let me ask you, is it the Holy Spirit groaning in heaven, or is it the Holy Spirit groaning through you? Yeah, I think it's the Holy Spirit groaning through us. When it says the Holy Spirit groans, it's not a groan going on in heaven. It's a groan going on inside of us because we are becoming the conduit of the Holy Spirit's intercession. Now, I wrote this down this morning and I thought, oh, this is good. He prays for you only as he prays through you. So if you want the Holy Spirit praying for you, you have to become the conduit. If you don't pray it, the Holy Spirit isn't praying through you. Does that make sense? If I don't become the conduit of the groanings of the Spirit, the prayer doesn't happen. He wants to pray for you according to the will of God. Now, Jesus' intercession is a little different. Jesus intercedes for us regardless. He's our intercessor in heaven. He prays for you all the time. Holy Spirit only intercedes for you as you invoke his help and become a conduit for the groanings of the Holy Spirit. So if you want the Holy Spirit praying for you, you better start doing Romans 8:26, getting in that thing and saying, okay, Holy Spirit, pray for me now as you pray through me. And I become a channel for the groanings of the Holy Spirit as now the intercession flows through me by the power of the Spirit. This is how he helps us in our prayer. Well, I want to end with that scripture. And so I started with it because that's where I want us to come full circle. And by the time we're done this morning, I want us to enter into that kind of intercession where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us and for us. Now, I want to paint some backdrop and so on. Come with me, please, to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. I'm going to ask the sound department, can I get a little more monitor? Let's see if we can without that dreaded feedback thing. Let's just give it a little shot, test drive it a little bit, see what we can do without. Oh, okay, no, we're right on the edge there. Okay, thank you so much. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I was meditating in this verse one day. Talks about the sprinkling of blood and coming in with confidence into the throne room. And so I was meditating in it, and I just thought to myself, I'm going to try this right now. So I just prayed a prayer. Lord Jesus, sprinkle me now with your blood. And I saw the blood of Christ upon my life in a totally new, fresh way. And I came into the throne room with boldness, barged right on in. It's me again. I stepped into the throne room And it was so sweet. I just saw myself with such confidence in the presence of God. I said to myself, I have got to remember to do this again sometime. And I did. It occurred to me again. Another time I was, okay, I'm going to do that thing again. Lord Jesus, sprinkle me now with your blood. And I saw myself under the blood of Christ as righteous. If there's anything you want righteousness, because righteousness is the thing that qualifies you to draw near to God. When you are righteous in the sight of God, you can barge in with boldness. It's me again. Righteousness, there's only one way to get it. And that is by faith in Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he has done. When you place your faith in the cross of Christ, Abba Father looks at you and calls you righteous. Now, I don't know how he does the math. I don't understand it. Okay, here's God's math. When you believe in my Son, I call you righteous. I don't understand that. I just believe it. Okay? Holy Spirit calculator. All right. So, when I place my faith in that blood and say, sprinkle me now with your blood, Lord Jesus, I see myself righteous in the sight of my God. And when I'm righteous, I have full authority to stand in the presence of a righteous God, and I come in with boldness right into the throne room. It's me again, and I love him, and I worship him. I bring my issues right into the throne room. Aren't you glad you can bring your issues into the throne room and don't have to deal with them first? Because if I had to deal with my issues first before I drew near, I'd never get there. But the blood of Christ has qualified me to bring my issues into the very presence of God. And now I stand before him, issues and all, righteous in the sight of God. And the glory of God is literally changing me from glory to glory because I'm standing in the holiness of heaven. So I saw myself right there at the throne room. The intimacy was so sweet. I said to myself, I have got to do this more often. So I started doing it more often. And I've gotten to the place where I get sprinkled with blood every day. And it's become so sweet to me that I'm just going to have to share it with you a little bit and talk about it. Because Christ has made a way for us. How many know that we need a spiritual shower every now and then? You know, we're cleansed, we're righteous, we're pure, we're holy. But we live in a defiled environment and we get yucky. And I just need another cleansing of the sprinkling of blood to cleanse my conscience and empower me with confidence to draw near. Now, the whole purpose of getting sprinkled with blood, Hebrews 10:22, is to draw near. It's not simply to get that clean feeling and and then take off. The purpose of sprinkling, yes, it's to get a clean feeling, yes, it's to purify our conscience, but then the purpose of it is so that we can draw near to the throne room and enter into the fiery passions of the Godhead. Come with me to Daniel 7. Daniel 7. Daniel sees a remarkable vision. He sees Christ in his pre-incarnate state. Christ, the second person of the Trinity, coming on the clouds of heaven. It's a very holy, powerful, majestic vision. He says, Daniel 7:13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So the verse, it's a vision of Christ coming on the clouds of heaven and approaching the Ancient of Days. And the verse says, Jesus has ushers, escorts. They brought him near. So there's some kind of creatures on his right and on his left, and they're escorting him into the presence of the Ancient of Days. My question is, who are they? It says they brought him near. Are they angels? Are they cherubim? Are they seraphim? Bible doesn't tell us who they are, but I promise you this. They're heavyweights. Big boys. Massive, glorious, radiant. You know, some of these creatures, they have flames of fire that flash between them. Some of them have lightning coming out of their beings. They got eyes everywhere. They're burning. They got wheels that are on fire with eyes everywhere. I mean, glorious, massive, radiant beings. I don't know which ones are in this entourage, but my mind, I'm starting to imagine the glory of it. Fiery ones on his right and on his left, and he's coming on the clouds of heaven into the presence of the Ancient of Days. And as I'm imagining the glory of what this must have been like, I found myself starting to pray, Lord, give me an escort like that. I want some of those big boys on my right and on my left. Fiery wheels, inside of wheels. I give me an escort like that into the presence of the Ancient of Days. And it's like the Holy Spirit answered and said, I'll do that and one better. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Beloved, you have a more glorious escort than angels. Sister, you have a more dignified escort than cherubim. Sir, you have a more glorious escort than seraphim, the burning ones. You come into the presence of an almighty God, escorted by none other than the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the most valuable thing in the universe. You know how valuable something is by what can replace it. If you can replace your car with $10,000, it gives you a feel for how valuable it is. With what will you replace the blood of Christ? If you own the resources of the universe, you could not purchase one drop of the blood of Christ. It is irreplaceable. It is beyond value. That's why we cast our crowns at the foot of the Lamb and we say, worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and wisdom and might and strength and honor and power and glory. You are worthy, Lamb of God, beyond value, irreplaceable, and you are escorted by none other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 10:19, when it says that we come into the holiest, I take that word at face value. The blood of Christ empowers you to come into the holiest place in the universe. Blood of Christ brings you to where the holy angels are that stand around the throne and says, excuse me, this one's drawing near. Because, you see, holiness has to do with proximity. The closer you get, the holier it gets. There's holy, there's holier, and there's holiest. And the blood of Christ escorts you to where the holy angels are, and you step past them. The blood of Christ escorts you to where the cherubim are. Those are the ones with the wheels inside the wheels. They got the flaming torches of fire passing between them. They got eyes everywhere. And the blood of Christ says, excuse me, this one's drawing nearer still. You come to where the seraphim are, the burning ones that live inside the throne itself. They have six wings, and they never cease to cry out, holy, holy, holy. And the blood of Christ, when the blood of Christ is your escort, you don't even stop there. The blood says, excuse me, this one's drawing nearer. You don't stop drawing near until you come into the very holiest place in the universe, the very bosom of Abba Father. There is no holier place in the universe than where you now live. Because of the authority of the blood of Christ on your life by faith. I want to share with you in something of a personal, vulnerable way, if I can do it, of how I have come to enjoy and experience the reality of this in my life. So I'm going to be a little personal with you. If what I'm about to share, if you just have a total disconnect with it, no problem. All right, God will have a way for you. I'm just going to share my way, and if you want to borrow anything, it's yours for the taking. All right? Come with me to Psalm 109. I want to share just how I've come to enjoy coming into the throne room of God. Psalm 109. Last verse. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him. So Psalm 109, the last verse, has Jesus at my right hand. Because I'm the poor guy he's talking about there. He shall stand at the right hand of the poor. Now, come to the next verse in your Bible. Step over the chapter break. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Psalm 110. So Psalm 110 has Jesus at the Father's right hand. Now let me look at it again. Psalm 109, Jesus is at my right hand. Psalm 110, Jesus is at the Father's right hand. So I'm trying to put these two verses together, and I'm trying to figure out the geography. How does this work? Okay, Psalm 109, Jesus is at my right hand. Got that. Here's me, here's Jesus. Got it. Okay. Psalm 110. Jesus is at the Father's right hand. That must put the Father on my left hand. If Jesus is on my right, and if Jesus is on the Father's right, Psalm 110, if the Father's on my left, well, Jesus is still on his right. That satisfies Psalm 110. And Jesus is on my right. That satisfies Psalm 109. So if I have the Father here and Jesus here, that seems to take care of the geography of the two verses. So that's how I have chosen to visualize it. To my left is Abba, to my right is Jesus, and in the middle is... So here's how I see it. I get sprinkled with the blood of Christ. By faith, I see myself as righteous. And now I'm drawn near. Here I come. No warm-up, no calisthenics, no spiritual gyrations, no, you know, trying to work the thing. No, I am accepted before Abba, and I come in immediately with boldness. It's me again. And when I step into the throne room and I see Jesus seated at the Father's right hand, I just... I make my way right between Father and Son. Push myself right into the middle of their love exchange. Then I turn around, sit down with Christ in heavenly places. Now Abba on my left, Jesus on my right, me in the middle. And that's where I like to spend my day. Remember when I was a kid, every once in a while my parents would embrace in the kitchen. Dad would bring Mom into a body hug and he would wrap his arms around, and whenever I saw that action happening, I was on that. I'd push and shove until I would just kind of got myself right between my mom and dad, right until I was right in the middle of their love hug. And once I got in the center of that thing, I was like, let's do this. Because as far as I was concerned, if we're going to have a public display of affection, sign me up. Only problem was, I kept growing. Eventually, my dad takes me aside. He says, Bobby, there are times that I would like to show your mother a little affection, and I don't always want you in the middle. Well, I'm 52 now, and now I get it. I do the math. Okay, I get it now. But back then, talk to the hand. I don't know what you're talking about right now, Dad. All I know is if you and Mom are going to do that lovey-dovey thing, get that thing going, I am going to be part of that action. I'm 52 years old, and nothing's changed. I get sprinkled with the blood of Christ. I barge in with boldness. And when I step into the throne room, the first thing I see is affection. The Father and the Son wrapped around each other in an everlasting embrace of a fiery affection that is so hot and intense that three are said to be one. Oh, how do I even represent it for you? The fire that's in the heart of the Father for his Son. Son, you laid your life down for me. You drank that bitter cup to the bottom, and you loved me. You stood on that nail, you spread your arms, and you loved me until death. And Son, my heart is yours forever. And I hear the Son coming back, but Abba, when I was in the pit of hell, when the sorrows of Sheol were wrapped around my brain like seaweed, Abba, you reached down into my pit, you lifted me out of my pit, and you have set me again at your right hand, and Abba, my heart is yours forever. Beloved, the Father and the Son happen to have this fiery, intense, passionate love relationship. There's no one like his Son. And to the Son, there's no one like my Father. It's such a fiery inferno that no one has stepped into that furnace for billions of years. Three have been confined to that fiery inferno. And now, for the first time in the history of the universe, a fourth is in the fire. And the angels are looking in that flame and saying, we see the form of a fourth in that fiery furnace. Beloved, it is the bride of Christ who has been brought into the fiery inferno of the love exchange that has been reserved for all history to three. Now, a fourth in the fire. I'm not saying we become God. He is eternally the creator. We are eternally the created. We don't become God, but we enter into the fiery passions of the Godhead, and he is inviting us into the love circle of the Trinity. Beloved, we don't even know who we are. We don't even understand who he's making us to be. We don't understand who we're getting married to. And we don't even know the fiery glory that awaits us. Oh, it's glorious. So when I come into the throne room and I see that kind of fiery affection, sign me up. I am definitely going to be part of this action. And I make my way between the Father and the Son. Sit down with Christ in heavenly places. Now I'm in the bosom of the Father, leaning on the breast of Christ. Could it get any better than this? the bosom of the Father, leaning on the breast of Jesus, sharing in the affections that flow, like Jesus said in John 17, Abba loves you with the same love with which he loves me. And now I am the object of the very same passions that Abba has for his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Could it get any better than this? But wait, it does. Because as I'm there in the bosom of the Father, leaning on the breast of Christ, I look ahead. The first thing I see as I gaze out from the throne, 7 lamps of fire, Revelation 4, 5. 7 lamps of fire that burn before the throne of God. And now I reach into the blazing inferno of the Holy Spirit and draw his 7 fires into my bosom. And I say, Holy Spirit, come into me now and set me on fire with everything that kindles your heart, the fire of your love, the fire of your jealousy, the fire of your holiness, the fire of the fear of the Lord. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, enter me now with everything that kindles your heart and set me on fire with the 7 fires of God. And now, in the bosom of the Father, leaning on the breast of Christ, like John the Beloved did at the Last Supper, pulling the flame of the Holy Spirit into my bosom. Now, I'm ready to start praying. Now, I'm ready to start the Word of God. Can you imagine what it must be like to be in the Word of God when you're in the bosom of the Father, leaning on the breast of Christ, and drawing the fires of the Holy Spirit into your bosom? There's a verse that says, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Proverbs 6:27. So I draw those fires of the Holy Spirit into my bosom. Holy Spirit, burn away all the old garments of my old life that I might burn in your presence with the fiery, pure, passionate, devoted loyalty to the face of Jesus Christ. And now, with the Holy Spirit burning inside of me, now I do Romans 8:26. Help. Help me, Holy Spirit. I don't know how to pray the way I ought. I don't even know what to ask for most of the time. Help me, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, I'll pray for you if you'll let me pray through you. And so now I become a conduit of the fiery intercessions of the Holy Spirit as I draw the coals of his fire into my bosom. Help me, Holy Spirit. Give me the cry of your heart. And sometimes it's English, sometimes it's other tongues, sometimes it's just a groan. Oh. Just a groan. The Holy Spirit praying for me as he prays through me. Now, I would like to invite us this morning to have one massive altar call right in your seats. And let's just all respond to this word and do it together, if you want, all right? So here's what I'm going to do. Eric, can you I'll play some strings real softly. If you got a string setting on there, just real soft so that I can still work the microphone. But what I want, I'm going to invite you right now, put your Bible aside, put your notebook aside, and get yourself comfortable. All right? Just a little bit less, if you don't mind. Thank you. Get yourself comfortable. If you want to come to the altar right now and do this, if you want to get on the floor, sit on the floor, lay on the floor, any posture you want to take right now, just get yourself comfortable. This is you and the Lord. It's a personal time. And what I'm going to do is just pray through how I do this, my own personal way of coming into the throne room. And if you want to practice with me, you're invited to practice with me. Just want to warn you, sometimes practice turns into the real deal. All right? So if you want to join me, I start my day somewhere in my morning with a very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, sprinkle me now with your blood. And I see by faith, under the blood of Christ, I am righteous in the sight of God. Now I come into the throne room with boldness in the righteousness of Christ. Abba sees my faith as righteousness. And now I step into the throne room. I step past the angels. I step past the cherubim. I come right into the holiest place of the universe, the very throne room of heaven. I see Abba on the throne, Jesus seated at his right hand. Now for me personally, I like to make my way right between them. If you want to come, you're welcome, but I'm coming, Abba, right into the center of the love exchange of the Father and the Son. On the throne of God, I'm coming right into this exchange. Now I turn around, sit down with Christ in heavenly places. To my left now is Abba. To my right now is Jesus. And when I come to this place, many times I like to talk to Abba. Maybe you want to talk to him right now too. As I am, Abba, I am in your bosom, just like Jesus. Holy, righteous, just like Jesus. Abba, how did I get here? I was in a pit. I was in a miry cesspool. And how did I get here? Abba, it was your idea. You were the one who came up with a way to lift me out of my pit of sin and to clean me off and make me in the righteousness of Christ and bring me into your bosom. Abba, I am here because of you. Wow, what a price you paid to get me here. It cost you your favorite, and you gave your best so that I could be now in your bosom. Abba, I love you. You are the best father. You are the gracious father. You love me. You provide for me. You give me identity. You give me security. You've given me an inheritance. You've given me a place in your house. Abba, I am yours forever. Then many times I like to turn to my right a little bit because I imagine Jesus now on my right. And sometimes I like to talk to him. You might want to talk to Jesus right now too. You're welcome to just say what's on your heart. Jesus, altogether lovely one. Oh, Jesus, I was so delighted with how this congregation glorified you this morning. We sang songs about you and to you because you are so worthy of the praises of your people, altogether beautiful, fairest of 10,000. There is none like you. And Lord Jesus, you have chosen me. You have brought me into your heart. You have espoused me to yourself. I am getting married to you. You've courted me. And now I am lovesick for you. You ravish my heart with your beauty. Every word from your mouth is my life, my sustenance, my joy. Oh, Jesus, I love you every time I see something new about you, Lord Jesus. I get lovesick all over again. My heart burns for you. And I say, Jesus, you deserve the unshared affections of your bride. You deserve a bride who burns before you with a holy fire. You deserve a bride who loves you like you love her. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. I love you with all that I am. I am yours. Jesus. And now, as I'm here in the bosom of the Father, Abba on my left, leaning on the breast of Christ, Jesus on my right, I look ahead. I see seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And I like to talk to the Holy Spirit sometimes. I invite you to talk to him now as well. Holy Spirit, come into me now. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge of Christ, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Enter me now. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, with your joy, love, peace, patience, goodness, self-control, come into me now. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, with all your gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gifts of healings, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of miracles. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, come into me now and set me up on fire. Make me a firebrand in the presence of God. Cause me to burn, Holy Spirit, with everything that kindles your heart. Enter me now. Let us become one spirit. And now I am joined to you, Holy Spirit, losing myself in the ocean of your fiery love. And Holy Spirit, I'm just calling up now Jesus said I could do it, and I'm going to do it. Holy Spirit, help. Help me. Help me to be a loyal son to Abba. Help me to be a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. Help me, Holy Spirit. The world, it's a war zone. The things I'm facing, my flesh. Abba, I'm in a war zone. I don't even know how to praise you or how to worship or how to pray. I don't know how to do anything right. Help me, Holy Spirit. Come into me with fire, with power. Let the spirit of might rest inside of me, that Christ might dwell inside of me by faith. Holy Spirit, come now with all your power, with all your grace. Enter me. And now I'm asking you, pray for me and pray through me. Groanings. Give me the will of God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Hallowed be the name of Abba. Abba be glorified in my life. Holy Spirit, give it to me now. The prayers of God, the will of God. Pray for me and pray through me. Go ahead and just let the river flow in your spirit. Holy Spirit, come now. River of intercession, river of fire, flow through me. Help me. Help, Holy Spirit, help us. Pray in the Holy Spirit. He's helping you. Give me my daily bread today. Oh, feed me of your living word. Forgive me my trespasses, as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil. Oh, it's your kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory. Pray through us, Holy Spirit. Help us. Let the prayers not be our own energy. Let it be the very energy of God. Fire of God. Might of the Holy Spirit. Power of God. Power of God, inflame the bride of Christ in Hyannis. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would enter your bride in Hyannis, that you would give to your saints power in their spirit to pray with boldness, to pray with confidence, to pray in the will of God. I'm asking that you would enter them with fire, with boldness, with clarity in the Spirit. I'm asking for the love of Christ to be shed abroad in their hearts. I'm praying that you would put a fiery inferno in their spirits, that they would take on the mountain before them, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Abba, we want to enter into the realms of the Spirit, where we pray and we press in, not in our strength, not in our wisdom, but we lean on the wisdom of the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of revelation, Spirit of might, come now, I pray. Open up the river of my heart. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit. You didn't leave us to have to pray in our own strength. You've given us the very power of God to empower our prayer life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Eric. We can just pause that for a moment. I'm going to share one last verse with you, if you don't mind. One last verse. Look at Zechariah 4 very quickly, and I'm done. Zechariah 4 just got it in my heart to finish with a verse. Zechariah 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain." The scripture doesn't say, "What are you, O great mountain?" It says, "Who are you, O great mountain?" Because the mountain that faces your life, the mountain that resists the will of God in your life, sometimes looms so large, that mountain takes on a persona of its own. You can actually attach a name to that thing. Sometimes it even has a demonic assignment on it. Who are you, O great mountain, that stands in the way of my sister, that stands in the way of my brother, that stands in the way of the Church of Jesus Christ in Hyannis, Massachusetts? Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. The destiny of God for your life is for the mountain in your life to become a plain. Anybody here ever been to Denver? Salt Lake City? Albuquerque? Colorado Springs? The cities I just mentioned have a common denominator: Denver Classic. You have this vast plain, and on the plain you have highways, businesses, people, skyscrapers, schools, restaurants, industry, agriculture. Stuff happens on the plain, millions of people. And especially in the case of Denver, you go directly from plain to mountain. It just comes out of the plain. Bam, there's the mountain. And when you hit that mountain, the highway stops, the industry stops. There's no schools, there's no restaurants, there's no banks, there's no skyscrapers, there's no people. Yeah, there's that one guy up there. Got a rifle in his pickup truck. A cabin up on the mountain. I'm not a mountain man. give me a valley. Give me something you can build on. Give me a place you can do stuff. God says that mountain in your life that represents a wilderness, it represents a place of loneliness, of darkness, of bleakness, of resistance to the will of God. God's intention for your life is for that mountain to be leveled into a plain that will now feed a generation from the goodness of God in your life. How does a mountain become a plain? Beloved, there was a mountain that God turned into a plain. I'm thinking right now of Mount Golgotha. If ever there was a morbid, bleak, depressing mountain, it was Mount Golgotha, and God took that mountain and leveled it into a plain that is feeding every generation now with the power and goodness of God. How do you take a mountain like Golgotha and turn it into a plain? I will tell you how. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You reach into the Spirit of God. You harness the power of God. You let Him pray for you as He prays through you. And now, in the power of the Spirit, mountain, you are coming down. I set my face against this mountain. Church of Jesus Christ, set your face against the mountain that looms before you in Hyannis, Massachusetts. Y'all got a mountain around here. You have a challenge in front of you. How's it going to come down? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your help and your grace. I'm asking that this word would find solid root in our hearts and that you would empower us to pray in the Spirit according to the will of God until that